The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. I love open phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. We can go wherever you want to go. Now, you just heard the town hall news talking about the RFK ending his... I mean, the reports are all over it now. It was rumored here for a number of days. It looks pretty much dead bang going to happen because we're going to see... RFK, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., in Phoenix tomorrow, about 11 in the morning. Trump's going to be right by it, same day, same time. And it appears that it's going to happen where RFK Jr. quits. And the story is that he's going to endorse President Trump. Do you have an opinion about this? Good, bad, indifferent? I've noticed that national talk show hosts have been very upset about this, or they're not thinking that. I'm not that way. I'm kind of like, you know, political campaigns can be strange bedfellows sometime. And there are times that the enemy of my enemy can be my friend, even if there are a lot of things about that enemy of my enemy that I'm not really happy with. I could see Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Attorney General. I could also see him in National Institute of Health. Oh, boy. Wouldn't you see some pharmaceutical stocks take a little pressure with that coming? I could be wrong about that. But if you have an opinion one way or another, please let me know, okay? We can talk about that or anything else on your mind. Bob, you wanted to weigh in on some City of Medford issues here. Go right ahead. Welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Two one-liners, and then we can delve into my activity as a willing pawn as a downtown member issue. RFK is a cabinet whore. Does he want to do for his country or do for himself? That's one line. The second line is I think middle-class Americans should form their own union, and we can kick some ass.
our own union. And so you could have the middle-class union speak in front of the RNC and the DNC rather than the various Seans, right? There's like the Sean O'Brien and the Sean other ones. I forget which one from the UAW was in front of the DNC the other night,
and just
right?
Think of what the middle-class lobbyists could do for the middle class. Who would they be serving?
Well, but you know what would happen? The RNC and the DNC people would be saying, hey, you know, there's a problem with it is that your unions are going down in numbers here because of, you know, what the Republicans and Democrats have been doing to you, huh? What are we going to do about that? We got to get your membership up.
Hmm? We'll just go fertilize them in an avocado field somewhere in South California.
All right. So you're okay. You're not a fan then of RFK Jr. then endorsing Trump and helping to persuade a few.
Hmm? Nah, you know, when you jump the fence and switch sides, you kind of lose ground. You kind of have to hold your ground where you are and see if you can make change within.
All right. Well, we'll toss your opinion out there and see what everybody else thinks about it, too. 770-5633. Thank you very much. Let me go to Margaret. Margaret in Central Point. Margaret, you wanted to talk about another example of our money being used against us. What did you see the other day? I didn't catch this story.
Well, I got an email this morning because I follow an email, the Center for Tech and Civic Life. It's a lefty group that is involved with elections.
Uh-huh.
And so they were announcing a government grant, $1 million grant, that was calling it nonpartisan to support local elections. But it happens to support states that prioritize the future in voting systems.
Wait a minute. The grant is supposed to go to states that prioritize the future? What's that?
Yes.
What do they mean by prioritizing the future? I'm just curious. Do they explain that?
No, they don't. But, of course, I imagine that as let's make it easier for non-citizens to vote. Let's make it easier for anybody who wants you to vote. Let's bring them all in, all the new voters. They would never call it that, but that's probably what it is. But what's interesting to me was the number of the states that were going to receive the grant. Colorado, Delaware, Michigan, Minnesota, New Mexico, Nevada, and Washington, D.C.
Gee, that sounds kind of battle. That kind of sounds a little battleground-ish, huh?
Yeah, and one-sided.
Yeah, just a little bit fascinating. You know, I'm surprised that they didn't give a grant to Oregon because we're all about the future and making you know, voting easy and painless. And in fact, a lot of times you don't even have to do the voting. We'll have people do it for you.
Yes, they did miss Oregon. Shame on them.
Well, maybe it's because they figure they already got us locked up. I don't know. Maybe that's what they're thinking. All right.
I'm pretty sure that if it's obvious and it's true.
All right. Margaret, thank you so much for the call. Interesting. What was the name of that group again? One more time. I'm going to write that down and look them up.
Center for Tech and Civic Life.
Center for Tech and Civic Life. Got you. Thank you very much.
They abbreviate themselves as TCCTCL.
All right. Thank you very much, Margaret. 14 after 7. Open phones continue on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Anything on your mind? Trump endorsement from RFK Jr. probably coming tomorrow. Good, bad, and different. I think it's worth talking about, too. Scams, anything else on your mind also?
American Rancher Garage, United in Service. American Rancher Garage services most vehicles and offers state-of-the-art amenities, affordable pricing, and prompt service you can trust. If you're looking for a reliable, full-service automotive repair shop,
here's Bill Meyer.
I love Conspiracy Theory Thursday. It smells like freedom of speech. Not napalm, not the smell of the forest being restored by the fire smoke, like some of the dupes on the left will say, but just freedom of speech. 770-5633. And we have Mark who's on the road. Hello, Mark. What's on your mind today? What's bugging you?
Well, all these government entities, and it's federal, state, if they're left-leaning, they think it's their duty to take our tax money and screw us with it. We are paying for them to wage war on us with our own money. Now, how stupid is that? I'm a contractor. If I'm doing business with somebody that screws me every time I turn around, I got to be an idiot to keep doing business with them.
One of your challenges, though, is that the government doesn't appreciate you not doing business with it, though. Isn't that right, Mark? Isn't that one of our challenges?
It's going to take a coordinated effort on everybody's part to do something about it. But we just keep giving them our money, and they keep screwing us with it.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, this is dumb.
Mark, certainly dumb indeed. Thank you for the call. You be well. Try to keep the blood pressure down. A little metoprolol in there might help. Okay, in the coffee. It's there. 20 minutes after 7. Oh, red yeast rice instead? Oh, I don't know. I don't know all of the natural health solutions for it. But anyway, we can jump in. 770-5633. 770-KMED. So once again, RFK Jr. may be joining forces with Trump tomorrow, good, bad, or indifferent. I've only had one person really want to weigh in on this so far, just Bob. Have you not been able to just sort of take that to heart yet? Do you think? As far as I'm concerned, when you're in a toss-up election, and believe me, Trump is in a toss-up election, we're talking about battleground states, 4 or 5 states. I don't know, even a 0.5%? Let's say if RFK Jr. was polling 4 or 5% and you were to get more than half of his supporters, even if it's 3% of his supporters to go out there and market for Trump, wouldn't that be better? Would it be worth doing the deal at this point? Say what you will. I know a lot of people have taken apart RFK Jr. thinking, well, he's just looking for a job. Well, everybody in that Trump campaign is looking for a job, too. Everyone's looking for a job. In my heart of hearts, and I say this not as a huge fan of RFK Jr. I've never been a huge fan of RFK Jr. I think that one of the things that he is hoping to do is to make a difference at some point in a cabinet-level position. Because it is a lever of power. And I could see him as someone who was out there pushing for vaccine freedom and vaccine transparency and various other aspects. Could you imagine him in the National Institute of Health in a cabinet position there as a watchdog, providing some balance between the, hey, let's make sure that the next time we have some expansion of monkeypox, I know they're supposed to call it mpox now because I guess calling it monkeypox is racist. Don't get me why. But anyway, you know how this stuff is done here right now. But that the only solution is to line up for your mRNA shot. I think it's worth maybe having someone like that. I would certainly not put the environmental lawyer in charge of environmental policy, though. I can't tell you that. And that would certainly be that. But what I'm kind of curious about is that I've known a lot of people are really opposed to this. Why is that? Why would anybody be upset with some more support potentially coming into the Trump organization? 770-5633. Love to get your opinion on that. Let's do some emails of the day. Emails of the day, and those are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. And it's right next door to the Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant. And if you need special mouthwashes and water picks, things like that, and just go there. They have a kiosk for you. You can just walk right in, and they'll sell it to you at their cost. Not making any money. They want to make sure you have a healthy mouth, healthy life, okay? centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Sylvia writes me this morning, hey, Bill, couple of men, 42 and 48 years old, both from Mexico, arrested, charged with possession, delivery of fentanyl, lodged in the Jackson County Jail. That was last week. Yeah, we talked about this. 276,000 individual pills, and then they were cut loose. I've heard nothing more about this, and I'm beyond angry. I want to know the name of the POS judge that just released these murderers to get away. Needs to be fired or dismissed or whatever happens to corrupt judges. So glad that Patrick Green will look into it. Thanks for letting me vent. I feel better now. Sylvia, I was all over that story when it came out last week, and we were talking about it. I guess you must have missed that. Sylvia, what ended up happening is that, and this was explained to me by Sheriff Nate Sickler, that we're now in a time, thanks to Senate Bill 48, yet another bill brought in and passed by the state legislature, it's next to impossible to keep these people in jail. It's an actual state law. They have to be cut loose. You have to have a public defender for them right away. You have to have their hearing and yada, yada, yada. And they're foreign nationals and all the rest of it. And I hate to say it, but when it comes to the level of crimes, I guess those kind of crimes just aren't serious enough these days right now in the current state of Oregon to warrant them being kept in jail. They were cut loose because of the law. The law essentially told the Jackson County jail system to cut them loose. In fact, I don't even think a judge had anything to do with it. Patrick Green told me that their office wasn't even informed about it. It's just one of those things where, hey, there's nothing we can do, can't hold them. Now, to be fair about this, though, there's a good way of saying it or putting it that the two people that did bring in the fentanyl in the truck, you know, that pickup truck or that semi-truck, rather, not pickup truck, probably are lying low because cartel is probably not real happy with them. Bad for business to lose 750,000 or a quarter of a million fentanyl pills. Anyway, 770-5633. That's one of the things we could take to the bank on that one. Tom writes me and says, Bill, a flyer was dropped off at my house the other day promoting Denise Krause as a fair, transparent, and accountable person. A quick Google search indicates that she promoted a radical change in the Jackson County commissioner structure, including limiting salaries and increasing the number of commissioners. Be honest, this is an attempt to pack the court. State your position on issues, not slogans. Your promotional material, he's talking about Denise Krause, is anything but transparent. Speak your truth, state your positions and policies, and let the people decide. You do not have my vote for the simple reason you are not transparent with your intentions. Tom, I appreciate your writing. 770-5633. Lynn Barton writes me, Bill, I do hope that RFK Jr. does this, and this is about the, quitting and endorsing Trump, and I do hope that Trump is smart enough to give RFK a big position in his government, like taking on the chronic health disease crisis, which included the dreaded V, but also the processed food, glyphosate, EMF, and all the medical interventions that are poisoning us. Lynn, I appreciate you writing, okay? And Mindy Wallace from Central Point writes me, Bill, I'm just curious about all these Pacific Power brownouts. If I were a landlord, it would be illegal for me to shut off my tenant's power because it was windy and I was concerned about the fire danger. So why is it suddenly okay for the power company to shut off power to large areas of Southern Oregon when it's not windy and there's no threat from lightning? Can't we make them explain and be accountable by forcing them to provide the public a reasonable explanation for each time they turn off the power? Okay, Mindy, I'll help you a little bit. Lawyers, you can't sue them for billions and billions of dollars and then not have them be a little bit gun shy. I think we can take that one to the bank. And if you're on hold, I'll get to your calls in just a second. This is the Bill Meyer Show.
We've heard it all.
That boulder was hidden in the grass.
My St. Bernard jumped on the hood.
Gonna have to get that emergency brake fixed.
Garage doors need to go up faster.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting Southern Oregon drivers back on the road since 1946. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
The Rogue Gardener is sponsored by Grange Co-op. And remember, use the right tool for the job.
The Dirt Devil has a little plastic spout that folds down, and it'll go right in the blossoms and get the bugs without damaging the blossoms.
I know they're not so high-powered because every time I try to use one on my truck's upholstery, it never gets any dirt out. But I bet it would get a bug.
It gets bugs. It's a real handy tool.
Catch the Rogue Gardener live Saturdays 10 to noon, Sunday morning Encore at 9 on KMED.
Joel here from Butler Ford and Truck Center. And hey, I know I get excited in these ads and I start talking loud and fast. But hey, that's because I genuinely love Ford trucks and SUV. I own Fords. My family and friends drive Fords. I've been selling Fords at Butler for over 21 years to happy customers like you who've made Butler Ford the highest Google-rated Ford store in Oregon. So when I see a good deal on a Ford F-150 Super Duty or SUV, I get excited to tell you about it. And right now, I'm excited that you can pay only $399 a month to lease a Ford F-150 4x4. Pay $399 a month, drive it for 3 years, then come back and get a new one. I also want you to know that interest rates on the new Ford Escape are down to 2.9% for 75 months. 2.9 for 75 months? So yes, I get excited about saving our customers money on a new Ford. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes down the freeway in Ashland, off of exit 19, where we got your truck, your SUV, certified pre-owned, and your savings.
36-month lease to qualifying trading customers with $63.58 to assigning, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer doc fee on stock number 59693 and selling price of $52,905 after all rebates and discounts. 75 monthly payments of $14.59 per thousand financed. All financing on approved credit through Ford Credit. See dealer for more details.
This is the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED. Got something on your mind? Give Bill a shout at 541-770-5633. 770-KMED.
Always interesting on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. We have Claudia from Eagle Point. Claudia, you wanted to bite on RFK Jr. Good thing, bad thing, possible endorsement, or indifferent. Where are you coming out on that, huh?
I don't trust him. I just don't trust. I think he's running on the Kennedy name when he has every right to run on that. It's famous for people in a certain age group, but I don't think he's going to cause any positivity into the Trump situation.
So you're thinking that all of his supporters are mostly would slink back to Kamala, and I'm kind of concerned because I knew there were a lot of Republicans that supported RFK Jr. I've known of quite a few. You think they'd go to Kamala or go to Trump?
Well, if they're in support of RFK Jr., I think they'll sit on the fence. But I think Trump's going to irritate him with his name calling and this trivial stuff he pulls.
Oh,
because those are the people that can't make up their minds. To me, they're the ones that don't know enough about what's really going on and just get mad because he wears the wrong tie or the wrong sleeve length or something, because there's a lot of those in this nation.
Yeah, well, you know, given that is a reality, what you're talking about, they're irritated at him. Shouldn't Trump be a little more disciplined in such matters right now? Because he's got the MAGA crowd. He's got the MAGA crowd. He's got to peel or two away from the other side. He has to.
Oh, yeah, he's got lock, stock, and barrel. But he still doesn't have the nation, I don't think. I think I know so many people in California, Bill, that don't listen to any of it, CNN or Joy Reid or all those goofy people, and that's all they know. And they really believe it. It's like a cult. And I think RFK would probably swing that direction. I really do. I think he would. I think he will do no good. I don't think people even recognize him.
Okay. All right. I appreciate your opinion, Margaret, or Claudia, rather. Margaret was the last listener I had there. Okay. Let me go to Wild Salmon. Hello, Steve. What's up?
Hey, Bill.
Hi.
Yeah, RFK Jr. is a very interesting person. I read his book on Anthony Fauci, and the major theme of that book was that government is captured by the pharmaceutical industry. That was, you know, basically the book about Tony Fauci.
Yes.
How Fauci and the NIH and the pharmaceutical industry, you know, they got together for their own benefit to push all this stuff. So it could be interesting to see him in government, but he's also a communist, so I don't know.
I know. And like I said, you know, I would say, does it hurt, though, if he endorses him? Trump, that is.
I have no idea. He is a Salvador Dali-esque person.
Like I said, he is an interesting person, but I'm still going back onto there are times that the enemy of my enemy can be my friend in a particular situation, and this is an election that maybe could be worthwhile. I don't know.
How many faces does he have?
You know? Good point. Good point. Thanks for that, Steve. Let me go to Lauren. Hello, Lauren. How you doing?
I am doing fine. I just got back from 5 days in Texas.
Good for you.
And everybody down there is conservative. I did talk to a couple of people.
You must not have visited Austin, but anyway, I'll digress. Yeah. That's kind of their Portland. But
no, I was in Longview.
Okay.
That's a different story. But seriously, I talked to some people that are conservative, and they said they didn't like Trump, but they were going to vote for JFK.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they told me, flat out.
Okay, well, and there are more of them than we like to think. And I'm thinking, all right, well, if RFK Jr. then says, hey, you know, I'm throwing my support to Trump, do you think that might be helpful or not?
I think it will be helpful to him. Even, you know, he's got so many negative people picking on him right now. I think coming from, and I think he can control RFK if he's on his cabinet.
Well, yeah, because he would only have power within a particular realm of possibility. The one thing you wouldn't want to do is put RFK Jr. in charge of the EPA, right?
No, I don't think.
Yeah.
We got enough trouble with that with the Dems. Yeah.
Indeed. I appreciate the call there. Thank you, Lauren. Let me go to Joel. Hey, Joel, go ahead.
Good morning. Yeah, the other day I was trying to, there's a guy named Joel Scouse for president.
Okay. Yeah, your phone's a little scratchy again, Joel. You need to get it into a different phone plan. But Joel Skousen's on the Constitution Party in some states, right?
Well, if you could get him, if you'd be so lucky, you could interview him.
Oh, I've talked to him several times over the years. I subscribe to World Affairs Brief. I think at this point it's a rather quixotic presidential campaign. He's not on the ballot in all the states, and really all they could do is maybe flip a red state a little bit. I just don't know, is it worth it right now?
Well, I just think he'd be great for Trump.
Oh, okay, well, great to talk. Well, great for Trump. I don't think he's a huge fan. I'll get back to you on that one, Joel. Thanks for the call. Let me go to line one. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Vicky from the Applegate.
Hi, Vicky. What are you thinking?
Well, I just wanted to touch on the Pacific power issue that a lot of people are experiencing. My mother-in-law lives in Medford, and her electric was turned off 3 times last month. And I know in the past when we've had outages for whatever reason, they give you a credit or whatever on your bill.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering with this happening so often, if they're going to give us another raise or hike, you know, bill hike, because they're having to give credits back.
Give credits for bad service. Yeah, it could be. I know that they have another. I know they had been requesting 17.9%. I think that might have been throttled down to 11 or 12% last time. There's been a lot of emails flying back and forth on that. But one way or another, it's huge money that they're talking about out of this.
And the next time I call for an outage, I'm going to talk to a representative and say, my power's been off for however many hours or however many days, and I want that not charged to me. If I don't get the power, I don't want to have to pay for it.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Vicky. 735 on KMED, 99.3 KBXG. I'm going to delve off into copyright protection stuff. People are suing Trump. They're suing him over the music. Can you believe that? Kristen Roberts will tell me more about that story. It's very interesting, actually.
Power outages are becoming more common. Patriot Electric can size you with the correct Generac generator backup system for when outages occur. Whether you need a powerful portable or a whole house system to power your house, barn, shop, and pump house, a flip of a switch will produce power when you need it the most to pump water and provide essentials like AC and refrigeration. Call Patriot Electric and get your own Generac generator and investment you'll never regret. We are Generac sales, installation, and service professionals. Visit PatriotElectricOregon.com.
Have your taxes gotten off track? Just call Zach, CPA at First Response Resolution. Visit firstresponseirs.com today to see what Zach can do for you. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point is your first response to the IRS, defending your rights as a taxpayer. News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Crater Lake National Park's north entrance remains closed. Firefighters working the 5,200-acre Middle Fork fire continue to prepare control lines along the north entrance road and create defensible space. It's unknown when the north entrance will reopen. All other park roads are open except for construction on East Rim Drive. The fire is 0% contained. At least 5,000 birds have died so far this summer at a network of wildlife refuges on the Oregon-California border, likely a combination of avian flu and botulism. That's sparking fears of another large outbreak of disease and calls by environmentalists for more water releases in a region where farmers are already hit by drought and water uncertainty for irrigation. Well, a weather change rolls through the Rogue Valley starting today and through Sunday with rain, showers, cooler temps, and the possibility of thunderstorms, then clearing up on Sunday. The area could see up to 2 inches of precipitation. Bill London, KMED.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jolene with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. We've got summer savings on quality Continental tires. Through August, get a $110 Visa prepaid card in the mail when you purchase a set of qualifying tires for your truck, SUV, or van. And there's 16 different popular styles to choose from, including cross contact, 4x4 contact, terrain contact, and premium contact. Continental is one of our most recommended tire brands, so if you need a set for your truck, SUV, or van, come see us at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros in Phoenix.
George Strait's Oceanfront Property in 1987 was the first album to debut at number one on the country charts. Whether you're Arizona Oceanside or further inland, Millett Construction reminds you that if you have sloping floors and cracks in walls, your ground is likely shifting, causing foundation issues. Millett will fix your foundation, level your house, and solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Visit MilletteConstruction.com for a free estimate. CCB number 32787.
Hi, I'm Lisa with Pacific Survey Supply, and I'm on KMED.
If you've ever watched a Trump campaign rally event, you'll see them play that. You'll hear that song all the time, Hold On, I'm Coming. It's actually written by Isaac Hayes, and his estate, because Isaac's been dead a few years, are suing the Trump campaign. They've been suing the Trump campaign. Lots of people suing the Trump campaign. And I want to talk about Kristen Roberts. Kristen Roberts is an intellectual property attorney, deals in the specialized fields of trademark and copyright registration, licensing enforcement litigation, also worked as an adjunct law professor. Tressel Law Firm is where you work, Kristen, and it's TresselLaw.com. How are you doing this morning? Welcome.
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing fine. But what's with all the lawsuits about using money, or using music, rather, certain music within campaign events? Because I was under the impression that here it is, I'm on a radio station, and even though I'm a conservative radio station, and I play a lot of bumper music from artists that probably would hate me, but they don't sue me. And what's the difference between me doing that and President Trump going out and, you know, he uses Sam and Dave, Hold On, I'm Coming, and then the Isaac Hayes people sue? What's going on?
Well, that's a really great question, and it kind of has multiple layers to it. So, yes, there are the licensing aspects of it. So you can license a song typically through a PRO or a the rights organization, right? But the problem really comes when the artist include like an opt-out clause. So some artists, including artists like Beyonce, for example, include opt-out clauses in their contracts with the PROs, the licensing companies, which allow them to withdraw their permission from music being used in a political context, because there's also an endorsement aspect to it, right? Not just using the music, right? So even with the licenses, sometimes artists can say, well, I don't want my music being used in connection with this. And sometimes they can, negotiate that right.
Okay. And what about these artists that end up selling their entire catalog, or at least most of it? I'm thinking about like Bruce Springsteen, who famously got, hundreds of millions of dollars for for selling off all of the rights to his song. Does that mean that even if he doesn't like, let's say that Trump were to start using Born to Run, he probably doesn't own that anymore, right? And so some other company owns it. Could they sue Trump then if they don't like Trump's politics? Or let's say if it was Kamala Harris, you know, the Harris campaign. I mean, how does that work?
Well, that's exactly kind of the second layer to it. So that those are rights of publicity. So the music, even though the underlying copyright may still be owned by somebody else, the connection to the artist is still there through rights of publicity because it's still their name, likeness, voice, right, in the music. You know that that's Bruce Springsteen singing the song. So there's still that tie, that right of publicity that ties that artist to that piece of music that could still be at play when using a song in a campaign. And that goes for both sides, right? The Democratic Party has had issues in the past using unauthorized music as well. And it's not that it's unauthorized, it's that they don't get the rights up front. And when you don't get the rights up front, the artist has the right to say, well, I don't want to be tied to any political party whatsoever.
Oh, okay. In some ways, that could be kind of smart. I can imagine that, right? You know, in which you...
Yeah. Mm-hmm, absolutely. You know, not everybody wants to have their music tied to any kind of politician or movement or party, and they want their music to kind of speak for themselves.
What if you have a band playing? I remember at the RNC, there was some band playing. I don't know who it was. It was nobody famous particularly. It must have just been the house band. And they would play all sorts of well-known classic rock songs there. Is performing it and not being the actual, in other words, let's say, oh, I remember they did Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow, which of course cracked me up because I'm thinking, wait a minute, that was the Clinton campaign, you know, way back then, you know, the old Fleetwood Mac song. But they were doing that in the house band. Is that different than actually playing the music of the original artist performing it? Is there some difference out there on the campaign?
Think that there would be some kind of difference there because you're not actually having the original artist who's known for singing it. So you're not actually hearing their voice. So you're not actually saying, oh, that artist, did they agree to let that song be used? It's a band that's playing it. Maybe the lyrics aren't being sung. So you can recognize the tune, but oftentimes the underlying composition, isn't even owned or isn't even created by the artist that maybe is recording the song with their voice.
Okay, very good. Talking with Kristen Roberts, we're talking about intellectual property rights and copyrights when it comes to music on the campaign trail. Okay, now, this is something that we talked about a little bit last time that had to do with artificial intelligence. What if you have artificial intelligence singing a song or creating a song for a campaign, but it kind of sounds like a certain person, but it's not really them? This is kind of a different world. You're talking about this a lot. In fact, I heard you on this morning with Gordon Deal talking about these issues.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's really where it starts to step into those rights of publicity again, starts to bleed into that. And we have had cases in the past dealing with these issues, not with AI, but with things like voice impersonators, for example. Bette Midler famously sued Ford Motor Company for using a voice impersonator in a commercial that sounded like her, and she was able to successfully win. So artists do have rights when it comes to using or creating something or a recording that sounds really similar to them, because really the question is, when you hear it, you go, huh, that sounds like Beyonce. That sounds like, you know, Bruce Springsteen. If it creates that association and ties that artist to that sound, the artists have a better chance of arguing that it violates their rights of publicity.
And yet that can turn around and bite you in the behind. I recall famously a number of years ago when John Fogerty of Creedence Clearwater Revival had split away from the band, the people who owned the rights to Creedence Clearwater Revival sued John Fogerty, who, of course, was Creedence Clearwater Revival, for sounding like Creedence Clearwater Revival. Do you recall that story? It was just wild.
Yeah, and you know, that type, it, you know, to get back to your point, it really is important to, use these songs very carefully, right? It's a really good idea to get the licenses that you need, but sometimes, especially in this sort of political speech context, it doesn't really matter if you get the licenses if the artist is going to be upset, and they also have rights when it comes to how their image, their voice, and their likeness are used, especially in connection with political speech.
Boy, what a sticky wicket this could be. So if enough people sue, will the only person being allowed to sing at a Donald Trump rally be Lee Greenwood with God Bless the USA because he always supports him? I'm wondering if that's where it goes eventually. It's kind of weird.
Well, you know, quite honestly, and I said this before, Donald Trump is no dummy when it comes to the media. And so I think he kind of does this pretty strategically. I don't think this is an accident that he's using these songs and then, you know, maybe not necessarily getting permission from people because he knows he's going to get a no. So to him, you know, what's a few more $1 million here, $1 million there, right?
In order
to get the outcome that he's looking for, right? Yeah, he might get sued, but, you know, he's no stranger to lawsuits, and that's never really scared him.
That's interesting. So it's like, all right, yeah, I'm not gonna worry about the permission. They're gonna sue me anyway. Fine, we'll pay them off later. It'll just be expense of the campaign, that kind of thing, right?
Well, and oftentimes you don't even know if they're going to actually bring a lawsuit. You know, Isaac Hayes' family at first was just issuing a takedown request. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes you start with, you know, correspondence, and it later escalates. And so I think that again. I don't want to say I know that this is the strategy, but it kind of points towards it because otherwise, like you said, everyone's just going to say no.
And he knows that a lot of these, especially left of center artists are not going to be real happy with him. But at the same time, they probably wouldn't mind some licensing money, though, would they, in the end, ultimately? Everybody wants to get paid.
Everybody wants to get paid. I think it comes down to how strongly certain artists feel about being associated, but I also think that, you know, it gets people talking about Donald Trump, right? Because, you know, if people are upset, he's still in the news. And we all know that for him, all press is good press.
What about the rise of AI? And we talked with you about that last time. Kristen Roberts, once again, who is the founder of Tressel Law Firm, TresselLaw.com. And you're really getting out on the cutting edge of this stuff. There was the AI that appeared to have a Taylor Swift endorsing or implying an endorsement of the Trump campaign. I don't think that came from the Trump campaign, at least Trump
no.
claiming that came from something else. This is something new, and you're going to see this kind of battling on both sides of the aisle, won't you, in politics?
Yeah, absolutely, and I don't even think it's going to be, you know, strictly contained to politics. We're seeing it just with everyday people, business owners, influencers, people's voices are being taken, images are being taken and recreated by AI and making it look like they sponsor and endorse something. But again, it comes down to Taylor Swift, the Taylor Swift issue. It comes down to whether or not it sort of implies an endorsement or an association. I think the reason that there people became up in arms over this is because he retweeted the photo collage that contained the AI images and said, "I accept." Right. And so you know, whether or not people believe that, you know, he was joking or whatever. Again, though, it gets people talking, right? With or without her permission to use it. I think, again, that this is a very strategic play. This is a, hey, if I can get that look, you know, the media moves fast. News moves quickly. Get people talking about him. Get people interested in it. And then the next story hits, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's very strategic. I don't think it's an accident, and I don't think it's I don't think it's dumb on his part.
Hit and get, right?
Right.
Kristen, final question I have for you. Is there any way that this lumbering, massive government could really do anything about what we're seeing right now with AI? And the deep fakes and everything else. They're always talking a good game. I don't know how they could. It's so deep and broad at this point.
You know, I think that's a great question. And I've asked myself the same thing several times. I really think we're going to need our judicial branch to really help out and start setting some precedent. One of the biggest issues that we've been having is a lot of these cases aren't going all the way, right? They're settling out early on. So our opportunity to get real precedent set, to get some guardrails put in place has been limited thus far because, you know, these cases are expensive to try all the way to the end and do that. And also, some of the AI companies aren't necessarily interested in having guardrails put up right now, especially as this technology is being expanded and explored. I don't think we're going to get Congress to do anything about it because I think it's hard for a lot of people to understand, even, you know, younger people, even people in their 20s and 30s don't necessarily understand some of the burgeoning technology.
When I normally figure something is a fake, Kristen, is when it makes me feel too good, or like this is just too good, or this is too real to be true. And I think you almost have to run things through that kind of a filter, wouldn't you think?
I think you're 100% right. And I also think media literacy and social media literacy and internet literacy are going to become extremely important, especially teaching young kids about it, because they are growing up in the age of the internet. They are going to be seeing these things and learning how to separate, how to think critically, how to separate what looks real, what doesn't. Look at, you know, certain details right now. AI is not that great at doing things like teeth and hands. You know, start questioning what you're seeing online. Don't just look at it and go, oh, wow, right? I mean, that's kind of what the internet is set up to do, is to make us jump immediately and think, wow, you know, get real riled up. And I think that we need to all take a step back and just make sure that we're not jumping to conclusions.
It's really the Wild West for sure. Now, you being an intellectual property attorney, TressleLaw.com, I can't help but wonder, is this good for your business, or is it challenging your business, you know, trying to keep everybody from being ripped off, and or if someone is using images and likenesses that they get paid? How does it actually work in your world?
Well, it kind of works in both ways. For some of our corporate clients, it can be better for our business because we can, you know, show them how to put good policies into place, how to make sure that they are internally protecting themselves. You know, if you've got employees using programs like ChatGPT, for example, make sure that you have a good company policy, right, that dictates how employees should be using these technologies so that you don't lose intellectual property rights from anything that's being created. But I also think on the flip side, we're seeing a lot of enforcement issues, especially from some of our clients in the product space, where they're getting their products ripped off and, you know, especially from companies overseas, putting things up on platforms. It becomes really hard to go after those defendants because they don't have ties here to the United States.
But finally, the closing thought on Donald Trump, it is better to beg forgiveness or settle in court than try to get permission, right? That's what he's doing, you think, at this point in time, right?
That's what I would say, but I also wouldn't say that he ever asked for forgiveness for anything.
That's what I love about him, though. There's something to say, but you got to love the guy in that respect. Kristen, thank you so much for the thought process, the analysis on this. TressleLaw.com. TressleLaw.com. You're a founder of this, and boy, you got a lot going on with this. Thanks for being on the show. Be well.
Thank you.
It is 7:54. This is KMED 99.3 KBXG.
One of each, Forte Ben 807033.